WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The University of Michigan has just released its latest consumer sentiment index, revealing an unexpected stability in consumer confidence. As a CBS News poll on inflation and income shows, a majority of Americans are struggling to make ends meet. Director of Elections and Surveys, Anthony Silvanto.
Three quarters saying that their income is still not keeping up with inflation.
It's Elon Musk's last day with Doge.
President Donald Trump on social media posted, "Musk will always be with us, helping all the way."
That's CBS's Jared Hill. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports on a transgender woman taking part in a high school sporting event in California that's causing controversy.
The debate centers around A.B. Hernandez, a transgender woman competing in track and field at the CIF state championship this weekend. The DOJ launching an investigation and President Trump threatening to withhold federal funding over California's eligibility rules.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Seasons are changing, unofficially after the holiday, meteorologically with the calendar, and we will certainly start to feel it here. The unofficial start to summer is Memorial Day weekend. It's typically when the pools and beaches open for the season as the heat starts to rise and the days last longer. And the meteorological start to summer starts on Sunday, June 1st. It includes the months of June, July, and August. Season timing is a bit different and runs by the calendar. It's done this way, so it's easier to keep track of data and changes to the climate. And the astronomical start to summer lands on June 20th in 2025. This marks the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. It's going to have the most hours of daylight out of all 365 days. After that, the hours of sunlight start to get shorter. And officials are warning that bear season is here. Melissa Kay tells us more.
Stay bear aware and secure your garbage, compost, and pet food indoors. You can either take down bird feeders or hang them up high where the bears can't get to them.
And the Wisconsin DNR is reminding people not to release pet fish into local waterways. Last week, a goldfish was caught in the wild in Wisconsin.
People thinking, I don't really want to flush my goldfish or get rid of it, right? I think I'll release it into the wild, and then just realizing, that goldfish isn't naturally from Wisconsin, right? So maybe not the best step to take. And there are a few different groups that will offer kind of a rehoming service.
That's Erin McFarlane, a statewide Clean Boats, Clean Waters educator with UWSP.
Caring about what's in the natural environment, whether or not it should be there and how it affects the other living things. But a lot of times there are diseases too, especially when you get to certain types of things like snakes or other creatures.
The DNR says if you catch a fish that doesn't belong, notify the agency immediately with its location. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Badgers Hall of Fame. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The University of Wisconsin announcing 12 new inductees into the Badgers Athletic Hall of Fame, including NFL running back James White, announcer Matt LaPay, and basketball player Frank Kaminsky, who led the Badgers to back-to-back appearances in the Final Four.
You know, my 4 years here, I just really wanted to maximize my opportunity. You know, I felt really lucky to be able to have a scholarship to come here in the first place because I wasn't highly recruited. I mean, it's just like you get overcome with this like emotion that you can't really describe. Like, I love here. I love Wisconsin. I love the school. I love being back on campus.
NFL Packers OTA practices continue in Green Bay. The team adding another receiver to the roster, Sam Brown Jr. from the Miami Hurricanes. Baseball Brewers open a 3-game series on the road tonight against the Phillies after a much-needed day off yesterday. Trevor McGill.
Workload's been a lot, and it's just kind of what we needed to do to keep the wins going. So, yeah, just out there for the boys.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny skies today with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. High temperatures in the upper 70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms tapering off in the early evening, then clearing skies with low temps in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's film incentive advocate Rex Sykes, Civic Media sports director Jimmy Cuska, and even though we are Terry Barless, it's still Bar Band Friday night. We'll be joined by Rocker. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news is a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we try and lighten things up just a little bit. Get away from the news. A cleansing for the ears, as it were. We're going to talk about things that make you happy. Mm-hmm. Little bits of joy.
Nuggets of joy.
Little joy nuggets.
Joy nuggets.
I love that. Joy nuggets. So we're going to take your calls and your texts and your messages, and you can leave a voice note if you want to do that right now and send it to us via the app. So that's coming up after 10:30, and of course, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Get Off My Lawn edition with a great visual element that you're going to want to check out as well. He joins us every Friday at this time, Civic Media's political editor and the founder of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Jane. Great to be with you here in Racine to recombobulate on a Friday.
Where shall we start? Shall we start with Ron Johnson was not on Fox News. Well, he was this week, but he was also in Wisconsin.
He has had quite the media tour this week. Our senior senator here in Wisconsin has had. He did a very long podcast with Tucker Carlson, though a two-hour podcast. Now, I did not listen and watch that one for you, but I did watch his hour-long interview, Newsmaker Luncheon, presented by the Milwaukee Press Club and Wispolitics. He also had an appearance at the Medical College of Wisconsin, which I think a number of the hosts here on the Civic Media Network have been talking about. But yes. I watched the press club interview, so you don't have to.
This is why you make the big money, Dan.
That's
Schaefer.
Right. That's
Can
right.
I give you an award for just being a hero right now?
Well, you know, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make to bring you great radio here on Matinee on Air.
It was a long hour.
It was a long hour. Yeah, it was a long hour. Ron had a lot of things to say. You know, a lot of questions from the panelists, from the Milwaukee TV journalists that were hosting that one. Charles Benson, Emily Fannin, and Matt Smith. And then a number of questions from the audience as well. And so some interesting back and forths in that and some interesting talks. But I think the big picture of what I want to get to with this discussion of Ron Johnson is that I think he is one of the most important people in America right now. And I know that is frightening to hear because, you know, we talk about Ron Johnson a lot on this show. We talk about Ron Johnson a lot here. There's a lot we criticize him for. But in these discussions about the big, beautiful bill, he has been the face of Republican Senate Republican opposition.
He is the resistance.
He is. Well, it is. And it's funny because there are different senators who have like different things that they disagree with about this. Josh Hawley from Missouri has talked about we don't want big cuts to Medicaid because exactly. There are a lot of constituents that I have in Missouri who are on Medicaid. Ron Johnson is taking a different approach.
Oh, considerably.
Considerably different approach. He thinks this bill does not cut enough. And, you know, over and over again, I mean, we've been following Ron Johnson as a senator in Wisconsin for 15 years now. He was elected in 2010. And it's crazy to think that he's been in our lives for that long. But one thing about him has been very consistent, and that he has wanted to talk about the debt and the deficit and the spending and all of that. And that has been his main issue. There was actually one point when with questioners, Dan Bice from the Journal Sentinel, who was not a panelist, but asked a question when it opened up. He asked, like, you came into office saying that you wanted to get rid of Obamacare and rein in spending. Neither of those things have happened. Do you consider your time a year of failure? And so it was like there was a little bit of an interesting back and forth there. But I think the big picture, though, is that he in so many ways wants to address spending, but only through cuts.
Yes.
He talks about it always as a spending problem. Government has a spending problem. This is a spending problem. We're spending too much here. Spending, spending, spending. He never talks about the other side of the ledger. He's like, oh, I'm a numbers guy. I do all these things, blah, blah, blah. He never talks about the other side. And I don't think government has a spending problem the way he characterizes it. I think we should be spending on things like Medicaid. We should be spending on things like Obamacare. Yes, we need to tighten these things up and make them work more efficiently and all of those different things. Yes. But the problem, and I think most Americans would actually agree with this, is that we have a revenue problem because we don't tax millionaires and billionaires the way we should in this country.
And corporations.
And so when he talks about reining in spending, we have and we need to address the deficit, we need to do all of these things. Well, he is a cause of this in many ways, because in 2017, he was also in the same type of position where he was taking an opposition, you know, inter-party opposition stance on the Trump tax cut bill. And he fought for, a measure in that bill that extended business tax cuts to pass-through entities. Not so coincidentally applied to his largest donors. To the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks in a single year, not to mention just like the, you know, what is it, 8-9 years since then. So I think he is in a similar position now that he is in 2017. I was a little frustrated people didn't really talk about what he did in 2017. But I think he is in this remarkably important position again now. And he is taking the approach, not that we need to shore up Medicaid, not that we need to make sure of things, not that we need to raise taxes on billionaires, which I think, you know, like the Steve Bannon wing of the MAGA party has talked about wanting to do. But he has so dug in on this same Tea Party. He also talked about how he's more of a Tea Party person than a Republican, than a member of the Republican Party. And he's just, the only thing he cares about is cutting spending. And he doesn't characterize it as, I'm going to cut Medicaid. He's just like, oh, we're just going to fix it. He doesn't talk about it as a cut. He talks about it as a fix.
Of course.
But, and again, that same issue always comes back for him. He exploded the deficit with his addition to the tax bill and then is saying that we have the biggest problem we have is the deficit and the debt, which he himself exploded.
Well, and the other thing that makes me crazy is when President Biden increased funding for the IRS so they could get more agents to specifically audit wealthy Americans, they brought in well over $1 billion.
Yes.
Within the first year, and now they have cut that funding for those IRS agents, which seems completely counterproductive to me.
And to be clear on that, it was not just going in and knocking on the doors of billionaires and millionaires and saying, you're going to pay your taxes now. These were people who were cheating the system.
Yes.
Who have cheated the system. Some people tried to frame it as, oh, auto workers and waitresses are getting audited. But no, they're not. These are millionaires and billionaires. And yes, it brought in over $1 billion. Pure profit for the government.
Yep.
And I think one of the things, you know, you talk about, Dan, with regard to 2017 not getting the attention it deserves. I think what he's done now since then in his second and now his third, which he has dedicated to the vaccine injured, of course, because he's a hero. He now covers up those, I don't want to say crimes, but those
favors.
Those things he's done to the American people, he covers them up now with conspiracy theory, rhetoric, and misinformation and redirection. I mean, at the Milwaukee Press Club, the clip that they were putting on the Journal Sentinel was him talking about Biden not being mentally acute, the mental acuity of Joe Biden. I'm like, why is no one standing up saying, why do you need more money? Why do you need more money? And what, like, when I'm agreeing with Josh Hawley because he doesn't want to cut Medicaid, and Ron Johnson's like, no, I want to cut it more because I don't care about these people. Poor people do not matter to me.
It's yeah, he's had a few other comments on poor people.
Yes, I've heard that too.
In his comment from the Medical College of Wisconsin saying that he, I believe the quote was, I've never seen a poor person create a job.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there was other things from that medical college interview that I'm still parsing. There's been a lot of Ron Johnson content to consume this week. But I will say that, you know, when he talks about these different things, there is like a talk radio brain, a conservative talk radio brain that always seeps through with what he says. And he's like, oh, I'm not trying to cut Medicaid. I'm trying to fix Medicaid. I'm not trying to, you know, cut Obamacare. I'm trying to fix Obamacare.
Right.
Well, the result is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the result is that you are going to cut Medicaid and it is going to impact people and lives are going to be damaged.
Well, and the other thing, the other way that they're phrasing it now is we're going to save Medicaid.
Right.
We are saving Medicaid for people who truly deserve it. But the other thing that makes me crazy.
Half of the people on Medicaid in Wisconsin are children.
I know. And that's what makes me crazy is they come out with this claim that we know intuitively that people are cheating the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not proof.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing something intuitively is great, then back it up with proof. That goes back to Elon finding fraud and abuse. Well, fraud is a crime. If you have found all these instances of fraud, why are people not being held accountable and they're not showing up in court for this? This should be these are crimes that should be charged.
And to the extent that there is fraud, like there's been some terrific reporting from Mary Spicuzza at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about people who are committing Medicaid fraud in Milwaukee. And I would encourage people to read those reports. But the broad based type of fraud that he's suggesting that is like the cause of trillions and trillions of dollars and we could cut the federal budget by trillions of dollars. Like there was so much effusive praise that Ron Johnson levied towards Elon Musk and the Doge effort. Which, if you read anything about what it's actually done, it hasn't actually touched anything.
Yep.
It hasn't codified any of the cuts that they've wanted to, that Republicans have wanted to do. It's been a failed effort, and Ron Johnson is just out there saying he wants more Doge, basically.
Right.
More Doge, more of
deeper
this.
Cuts.
Well, yes.
Deeper cuts.
And you have Ted Cruz, like, begging and pleading. People, just be nice to Elon for all. He didn't take a dime from the government. Really? He hasn't taken a dime from the government since
that's
his time in the government.
That mean, is laughable.
It is just it is the fact that people who refuse to be informed or don't have time to be as engrossed in the news as we are, they hear things and like, oh, that sounds fine to me. Like Elon seems like a good guy. He seems like a good guy. And when we try to say, no, these are lies, people are like, well, how do you know they're lies? It's just it's screaming into a vacuum sometimes. And it's so frustrating because like just before they made up reports for the MAHA thing. And she's like, it's formatting. Don't worry. What?
Nothing to see here. Formatting mistakes. Not that the studies didn't actually exist. It's insane.
But at the end of the day, I think we really need to be paying attention to all of these things that Ron Johnson is saying. Because I think what he is among a list of like four or five senators who could realistically kill this bill. And if he doesn't get what he wants out of this, and I don't really understand what he wants, like they'll ask him these questions and it's just like, oh, I need to fix Medicaid and blah, blah, blah.
So he has no specifics.
No specifics. And I think it just comes down to he wants to cut government. And this is the same thing that Republicans do over and over again. It's the same thing that Doge was. It's the same thing that the Tea Party was. You go back through all of these things. It is talking about efficiency and reining in government. But the real goal at the end of the day is cutting tax cuts for the wealth. Is cutting taxes for the wealthy.
Mm-hmm. And maybe
over and over again.
Yes.
It is this Trojan horse of efficiency and streamlining and cutting government to
benefit the wealthy.
And punish the poor.
Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. When we return, 794, what should happen to that stretch of roadway? We'll kick that around on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 2nd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win free ticket Friday is underway. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word swing. S-W-I-N-G, the word to text in by 11 o'clock is swing, S-W-I-N-G, playing for a four-pack of tickets, club-level seats, when the Brewers host San Diego on Saturday, June 7th. You will have a new word with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, then with Todd from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. But right now, the word to text in via the Civic Media app is swing, S-W-I-N-G. And good luck to Julie in Oshkosh and Tom from Jackson and William in Oshkosh and Sharky in Racine. Keep those entries coming in our statewide text to win contest. Dan Schaefer is here, our friend and colleague, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. In the time we have left before the 10:30 news, Dan, let's talk a little bit about 794. There's an article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the future of 794.
Yeah, there was a public update meeting Big, exciting public update meeting.
But there's a lot of folks who are interested in this.
Absolutely. This is a big project. This is a big conversation about what's happening in downtown Milwaukee. So I'll quickly just zoom out and talk about what exactly this little stretch of highway is.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm doing this mostly for Greg. So 790, the part of 794 that is part of this conversation is between the Marquette Interchange and the lakefront.
Okay.
So the connection from the Marquette Interchange to the Hone Bridge, essentially. So it is not the stretch of 794 from the Hone Bridge south into Milwaukee County.
Okay.
It doesn't touch the Hone Bridge at all. It is the connections between the Hone Bridge and the Marquette Interchange. And so a few years ago, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation identified that this stretch of freeway needed to be rebuilt in some capacity. And they said rebuilding it in the current footprint it is, in the exact same configuration that it is, would cost $300 million.
Wow.
So this project is happening one way or another.
They're going to do something
Something needs to happen with this stretch of freeway. The conversation is, should we do something very different, slightly different, or exactly the same? And so the options that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation presented at this meeting last night included four options. One is essentially was a rebuild in kind. The exact same configuration would be about $300 million. Those costs have probably gone up in the 4 years or so since they initially put that forward. Another one would be kind of a slimmed down version of it, maybe fewer on and off ramps in between. I know there's a number now like a Jackson and Van Buren and things like that at St. Paul that you kind of go through in that stretch of freeway between the Marquette Interchange and the Hone Bridge. And the other option would be to tear that section of highway down so that the Hone Bridge, instead of connecting through, it would essentially end at downtown. 794 would end where the Hone Bridge ends on the Milwaukee lakefront instead of connecting all the way through.
Okay.
The idea here is that if you are, you know, driving through the Marquette Interchange, you're going to use 43 instead. For the majority of the time.
To go south.
To go south, to connect through the Marquette Interchange. And by removing this stretch of freeway, you open up some of the most valuable land for development in the state of Wisconsin.
You're so close to the lake.
You're right between, you know, kind of the downtown central business district and the Third Ward. Milwaukee has a housing and affordability crisis that is getting worse and worse. You'd be able to develop that part of land to bring more housing to people, to bring more options for, you know, just like affordable housing, all sorts of different types of things, transit connections, walkability connections, all of that. And so I have, you know, a long advocated for saying that, yes, we should tear down this little stretch of freeway to open up the development for downtown, because I just don't think the best use of that type of real estate is for a freeway to be blasting through downtown. I think it is, you know, obviously we need freeways, we need interstates, but they should be going to cities, not through cities.
I don't disagree with that. And my big thing is whenever I hear people talk about, whenever people talk about getting rid of something in favor of affordable housing or more housing, especially down in that area, I'm skeptical because I see very, very expensive land.
Yes.
That's going to be developed into high-rise apartments,
expensive apartments.
Or if someone can put a house down there, I don't see this. I'm not saying I don't want this to happen, but what I'm saying is I do not see in any scenario where they're going to put a stitch of housing where regular folks can afford to live. It's going to be, hey, do you need a third apartment, Chicagoans?
Yeah.
Come to Milwaukee. We've got more coming. You know? So, like, I wish there was a commitment, if this was the case, a commitment to making good affordable housing in this section.
I agree. And I think that should be part of the plan. But also, it's just a supply and demand thing, too. We just need more new housing in Milwaukee. There's a lot of housing in Milwaukee. There's a lot of people who are not going to live in a 120-year-old house on the west side of Milwaukee like I do. Like, some people want something a little bit newer.
Right.
You don't have to deal with the problems of that.
Right.
But now, zooming out again, here's the rub with this 794 debate. And we've already been having it for several years. The plan that was put forth in these boards that were at this meeting last night said that right now, 2025 is where we're exploring the alternatives. 2027 is when the environmental review would be done. And 2030 is when the final design and construction is going to happen. This is the problem with this and so many other government progress. We can't get anything done. And so we've already should have made a decision on 794 by now. I wrote a long piece on this 2 years ago. Why are we still debating this? Make a decision and go forward. We can't debate this for another 5 years.
Well, it's going to be 2035 before anything gets done. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. News coming up next.
I need you to recombobulate me.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Headed to the water this weekend to do some fishing? If you're using live bait, Wisconsin fishing regulations say that minnows can only be purchased from a licensed Wisconsin bait dealer. And rules are to never dump unwanted bait in the water.
Our live bait regulations as far as invasive species can absolutely be confusing to people. And so the simplest way to think about it is that you don't want to take fish or water from one water body and put them into another water body, because you could be spreading a lot of these species they're invisible to the eye. And so you could unknowingly spread things by moving the water.
That's Erin McFarlane, a statewide Clean Boats, Clean Waters educator with UWSP. She says that if you have worms that you will not use before they die, don't put them in the water or on the ground.
Earthworms and Wisconsin in general, they're not naturally found here. And so if you just think of your live bait as trash and just can dispose of it in the trash receptacles, that's the best way to handle it. It's also better to keep our landings clean and clear for other people enjoying them.
And before you leave the launch, don't forget to drain.
And by draining the water from live wells and boats and making sure we're not moving fish from one water body to another, we can kind of make sure that we're taking the steps to prevent them from spreading.
And the Wisconsin DNR is doing a study on one of the most popular freshwater sporting fish in the state, panfish. They started tracking their population in 2019, and now they expect to wrap up the study by next year. The agency is asking anglers for their experiences fishing for panfish, as well as helping with their own field studies. The goal is to better understand what environmental factors may be contributing to the drop of the panfish population and what regulations can be put into place to help protect them. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Some people seem to forget that the Me Too movement was supposed to change things for the better. According to a new lawsuit being filed, Kevin Costner is not one of them. A 34-year-old female stunt performer on Costner's bomb, Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 2, alleges she was a victim of sexual discrimination, harassment, and the creation of a hostile work environment, according to the New York Post. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that the movie even exists. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that this clunker of a movie even exists. In reboots that don't need to happen, especially for shows that ran too long in the first place news, Duck Dynasty is coming back. I know what you're thinking. Oh, joy. The Robertson family are the marketing geniuses who pretended to be hillbillies to get actual hillbilly viewers. Duck Dynasty The Revival premieres June 1st on A&E and is already renewed for a season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with an air quality alert in effect as wildfire smoke from Canada makes its way here from breezy northwest winds. Otherwise today, a chance of spotty showers late this afternoon could turn into some scattered thunderstorms early this evening. High temperatures today reach the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Parovonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win free ticket Friday is underway. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text the word swing, S-W-I-N-G. You can't play, Dan. Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, by 11 o'clock, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club-level seats, when they host San Diego on Saturday, June 7th. The tickets are not exchangeable, so just keep that in mind. But text in the word swing via the Civic Media app, S-W-I-N-G, until 11 o'clock. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you from 11 to 2. Todd Alba with a new one, 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. One other thing we wanted to mention, go to civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you're looking for a new stylish t-shirt you want to wear for the summer.
Yeah.
We have Civic Media merch. You can buy a t-shirt. You can buy a hat. And there may soon be new merch.
Many people are saying.
Some people are saying there could be new Matinair on Air merch.
Yeah, ooh, I know.
Coming to the website soon. I know. We're very excited. That's the rumor.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll let you know if and when that actually happens. But text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G. Dan Schaefer is here. He's Civic Media's political editor and also the founder of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area, and gracious enough to stick around for our silly segment that we call Audio Sorbet.
Where I love we try audio to sorbet.
Lighten things up a little bit. Take
love
a breath.
Audio sorbet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's a good cleanser for the brain.
Yeah, even just hearing those little notes that
you
play
makes you feel
here.
A little
just,
bit better.
Mm-hmm. You can just wash off the rest of the nonsense.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get audio sorbet robes. I just want to like just wonderful
just lounge,
comfy
lounge around
just
in
like
it?
Loungewear mm-hmm. robes, you know.
Slippers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just say AS audio sorbet.
I love that. So we're taking your calls and your texts and your voice notes if you want to do
that. Yes, please send a voice note.
On where you find your little bits of joy. Where are you finding your joy these days? And we're just talking about little things, mm-hmm. not great big momentous things. Like Mary from Tosta texted in real early in the show. Mary says, my joy every day are heartwarming animal and wildlife videos on what used to be Twitter. It's actually addicting, so I have to contain it. Mary from Tosa. Mary, check out We Rate Dogs.
Yes. Yeah.
We Rate Dogs, all one word. They have the top five dogs of the week. Greg and I watch it before the show every Friday. It's fantastic. And it makes you happy. It's one of those little things for a brief moment in time. You can forget other stuff and just feel a little happy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dan, you are here today.
I am here
today.
Yes.
Where are you finding your joy? Where do you find your nuggets of joy?
Well, you know, I'm a girl dad, so my joy comes from my daughters, and so often, and just got to spend some extra time with them over a long weekend. We went to go visit my sister who lives in New Mexico.
Oh, nice!
And so, we had a great time there, and my daughters, just like my two daughters, they're very different. And so that brings me different kinds of joy. My oldest daughter is you know, very smart and kind of a rule follower, and she just wants to learn everything, very curious. And my youngest daughter is just like a tornado of like nonsense all of the time. Like, I've joked with you, Jane, that she's just like a Chris Farley personality in a 4-year-old girl who likes to wear sparkly clothes.
That is so like, funny. It's
just like her. She has like a natural comedic delivery on things.
That's awesome.
I find my joy from my girls most of the time. Yes.
When you had your recombobulation area appreciation event a couple weeks ago, you were there, and your wife and your children were there.
Yeah.
And when I saw a little girl running around in a sparkly jacket, I go, well, that's Dan's daughter right
there. Yes.
Yep. I knew immediately who that was. And I was like, I love when I see little kids who are unencumbered by the world. Like, some kids can grow up like real, they grow up afraid to
explore.
I grew up afraid to break rules. I would not get in trouble. So I didn't do that. So when I see kids who are running around in sparkly shirts and being themselves and having fun, I'm like, good. Yes, we need that child to turn into a great adult and make other people around her awesome.
No pressure.
Absolutely.
No pressure.
Yeah,
Dan.
No pressure.
And that's nothing against your other child either, because I love the
they really balance the each other out.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
A yin and yang thing. It's a lot of fun.
Nice comment on the text line. Chris Alfine from Appleton, listening in Oshkosh and WISS. I love Dan Schaefer. I'm just saying.
Dan Schaefer brings joy.
Thank you, State Senator Alfine.
We love Dan Schaefer too. One of the things we wanted to share that is pretty darn joyful was the winner last night of the Scripps National Spelling Bee Contest.
100th.
100th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Spelling Bee Contest. We have a clip from the winner and the winning word. Calvin, if you want to play that, please.
Now, let's all of us take a deep breath.
Yes. This is the moderator.
And let's...
I did not help at all.
Bro.
Then smile.
Well, a certain pacing would help to follow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a killjoy.
So energetic.
Your word is éclaircissement.
Éclaircissement. Éclaircissement. Éclaircissement.
That is correct.
Drops to the floor.
He literally drops to the floor.
And there was no use it in a sentence. There was no origin of the word. It was, he got his eyes lit up. He knew the word. He knew how to spell it. And when he hits that E going into the M-E-N-T, he just can't. He's got to keep it together. And he wins. And like, I love that did not help at all. Breathing. I've been studying for this thing all year. And he just, I love how the moderator just can't. Yeah. Compute.
He just crushed it.
I loved it.
It was fantastic. He actually won $52,500 for that.
That's a very specific amount of money.
But he was also, he was interviewed afterwards and asked what he would do with that. And he said, look, he said, I'm a pretty lucky kid. I would like to give this money to some charities for kids who aren't as lucky as me.
Oh my God.
I know.
Greg's turning into a puddle here in the studio.
But we're going to include that. We'll include that clip in our show notes.
Already done.
Oh, so you can take a look at that and see his big win.
Oh, my God.
These kids are so impressive. I like to think that I'm a word snob. I have never heard of the word that he spelled. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I know the word éclair de Montsenant. It's a very common word amongst the people at the club. We say, excuse me, I'd like another éclair de Montsenant. That's French.
And that's also how you say it.
Exactly.
Too.
It's French for a big pile of eclairs. Get on board, get the robe, get the slippers. We're in audio survey right now.
855-752-4842. Where are you finding your little bits of joy these days? It's really important that
it is.
That we find those moments. John from Oshkosh, listening on WISS. Same Dan, I have two girls, and they sound similar to how you describe yours. As much as they give me gray hair, seeing them learn and experience life brings me joy all the time.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I've got a few extra gray beard hairs after spending, dragging my daughters around the airport, though,
too. And they're little yet. Just wait. You got more gray coming.
Yeah, adorable, Dan. Adorable.
Liz from Saukville says, playing with our cats while listening to my very talented husband play guitar.
Nice. Jane, where do you find your joy?
I recently, you know, I spend time in the garden.
Yes.
Which I have a love-hate relationship with my garden because now I'm very excited about it and everything is growing and all my flower pots are full and I check on them every day. And then by the end of August, it's like, get your moisture out of the air. You're on your own.
Let's I've raised be, in you enough.
Be a little independent, okay? But I was out the other day, and we have a new hummingbird.
Yeah, you were mentioning that. And you were excited when
I'm
you
very
said
excited
it.
Yeah. About this. This is a different hummingbird than the one we had last year. I can tell because he's much smaller, and he sits on the feeder. He actually perches on the feeder.
What is the other one?
And so you do the specific hummingbird feeder, and that's how you...
Well, you have to have feeders for hummingbirds. Yeah. They will come to flowers, but if you really want to attract them, get a that makes me so. And now I name him.
What's his name?
Name is Whistler.
Whistler,
love it.
Whistler the hummingbird.
Whistler, who's a listener, is going to be like, "Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane."
It makes me happy, so I will sit out in the backyard and I'll read, and he'll come around, and I always try and catch pictures of him, which is impossible because they move too fast. But it makes me really happy. So if I'm having a crappy day, or I'm grouchy or whatever, I go outside and I sit in the yard for half an hour and take a breath.
I mean, and that's paramount in life. It's just finding that those little nuggets of joy. And so we want to know from everyone listening and watching on the live stream, what brings you joy? Leave a comment on the live stream. You can text us. You can call us. You can leave a voice note through the Civic Media
app. All kinds of options.
But yeah, we want to know what brings you joy. Kelvin, what is bringing you joy?
Other than obviously producing for this program.
Yeah, other than hanging out with us 5 days a week. My God.
Listening to Jane and Greg for 10 hours a week.
Our voices are dulcet and hypnotic.
I'm not sure that I have one right off this top of my head right this moment. I've been reading comic books a lot lately. Yes. I guess that.
There you go.
Hey, that's all right. I mean, and the good thing about this is you don't have to qualify this.
No.
You don't have to explain it. It's just what brings you joy. Mm-hmm. What brings you that little bit of joy? There's no judgment. Can be anything.
Yeah.
I have another one for you.
Okay.
Greg, I know you of course love comedy, love live comedy. Laughing Tap, all of that. Have you been watching John Mulaney's show on Netflix at all?
I have been watching it. I will say that it's not hitting me, I feel like, the way I want it to hit me, because I love John Mulaney. I really do. But I guess I watched the first two episodes and it still feels kind of janky.
Yeah.
And I want it to be a show rather than just like 8 episodes. But I love his monologues because he is definitely designed to be a late night host.
Yeah.
Although I never want him to be one because I don't want him to be limited by that medium. But I really love he is a guy who is a little bit younger than me, who was born to be in the 50s. Like, he's meant to be like a Las Vegas comic opening up for Sammy Davis Jr. He's got that vibe about him that's just very old school. Knows more about musicals than any 10 actors I know. It's awesome.
We're going to take a call here quick. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Ollie, we're talking about where you find your little bits of joy. What did you want to share with us?
Well, my little bit of joy is because of health issues, I'm pretty much homebound. And finding the Civics Media radio station on my old-fashioned radio and being able to call in gives me great joy every day.
Oh, Ollie, you are so sweet. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. If you would like to join us and share your little bit of joy, 855-752-4842. There is no wrong answer.
I think I interrupted you, though. You said, like, what is the joy you find from that show? Is it the show itself?
The show itself. I think the show itself, they had its the season finale this week.
Okay,
Where John Mulaney famously, as a bit that he was talking about the whole season, basically, was going to fight 3 14-year-old boys live on TV.
He's going to lose.
And he lost.
He did lose.
He lost.
And it was just, like, so funny. And like, Mulaney was recently on Conan O'Brien's Mark Twain Prize and talking about how he is Conan's biggest fan and all of that. And he was on Conan's podcast recently and talking about how comedy doesn't always need to be about something. Mm-hmm. It can just be silly.
Yes.
And that's what that show is. And that's what's bringing me joy in watching the John Mulaney Netflix live show, is that it doesn't have to be about anything. It just can be really dumb and funny.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is fantastic. And a multi-award winner, Dan Schaefer. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
We will see you next week. Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Get Off My Lawn Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me.
I'm going to put this hot towel on, man.
About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Surely not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, still got about 7 minutes to text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, via the Civic Media app. Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, and you are in the running for a four-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers when they host San Diego on Saturday, June 7th, a week from tomorrow.
Nice.
Week from tomorrow. This is a statewide text to win free ticket Friday contest. So again, you got a couple minutes left. Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, and good luck. Coming up on Monday, it's June.
No, it's not. You're wrong. Fake news.
It is June.
Jane, you're wrong.
Coming up on Monday, on the first Monday of every month, we try to go beyond the cheese.
Darn right.
With a business outside of the dairy industry. On Monday, we are set to talk to McLaughlin and Hayes. I love this store so much. It's on Kinnickinnick in Milwaukee, and they make hats.
It's a
haberdasher and a milliner.
Yes.
So they make hats for men and women, bespoke hats for men and women. They're fantastic.
The gentleman who's the part owner used to be a client, or a client at the barbershop I used to work at, and he'd always have the finest hats. And I've watched videos on how they make these. And
it's a long process.
Involved and artistic and good Lord, my goodness.
Yeah. So join us Monday for Beyond the Cheese in hour number two. Also on Monday, Rick Reed is the economics professor that we have spoken to before. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about America's credit downgrade and what that means for all of us as Americans. Right now, though, Calvin, it is getting late. 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the BBC, Francesca Gillette, with the byline. The headline reads, "Man in Norway wakes to find huge container ship in garden." Oh, there's a video that goes along with this that will be in the show notes. You need to see this.
Just the picture alone.
A man in Norway woke up to find a huge container ship had run aground and crashed into his front garden. The 443-foot ship missed Johan Hellberg's house by just a couple of feet. Missed it. Mr. Hellberg was alerted to the commotion by his panicked neighbor, who had been watching the ship as it was heading straight for shore. The doorbell rang at a time of day when I don't like to open it. I went to the window and was quite astonished to see a big ship. I had to bend my neck to see the top of it. It was so unreal. 5 meters further south, and it would have crashed into his bedroom. This is a huge container ship.
Yep.
One of those big monsters.
This would have done irreparable damage and caused injury and
death.
The picture alone. And what's his name again?
His name is
Johan
Hellberg.
I don't really think it gets much more Norwegian than that. It's going to have the little lightning bolt through the O's there. And I mean, Johan Hellberg.
The Cypriot-flagged cargo ship had 16 people on board. They were traveling southwest when it went off course. No one was hurt in the incident. Unknown what caused the crash. Norwegian police are investigating. Johan Hellberg says it's a very bulky new neighbor, but it will soon go away. The head of the company that owns this ship says at present time, we do not know what caused the incident. We are awaiting the conclusion of an ongoing investigation. The ship had previously run aground in 2023, but got free under its own power. It's not going anywhere. That looks like the Milwaukee boat now.
I mean, honestly, Jane, I think by laws of property and whatnot, the boat belongs to Johan Hellberg.
Hellberg. It's his now.
Everything on there is his. Leave it there. Leave the keys. It's Johan's now.
He can turn it into a nice hotel.
A great hotel. What a conversation starter.
But you need to look at the video and see the picture. Again, he's got this. It looks like a little two-bedroom house. Mm-hmm. With this gigundo ship just ran, and how he didn't hear this.
Well, he had things to do. He's probably listening to
I think it happened in the middle of the night, but still, you would think you would hear this big ship coming 5 feet within your bedroom. I don't know. But take a look at it. You can always find the show notes at civicmedia.us. Go to the top, click on shows, and go to Matt and Air on Air. Greg does a great job of including articles that we've talked about and other things that we've talked about throughout the show. So check that out today. Calvin, that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, we have a busy Monday show coming up for you. If you ever have a suggestion, by the way, for a Beyond the Cheese guest, if you know someone who has a business outside of the dairy industry that you think would be great for us to highlight, please let us know.
Yeah.
You can always contact us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a teensy little bit. And you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News is coming up next on the vast, statewide, countrywide, we're global if you have the app, baby, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. New ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court.
What we see here is a win for the Trump administration on their immigration steps by stripping 500,000 migrants of their legal status.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson, earlier the court did the same for 350,000 Venezuelan migrants. President Trump says Elon Musk will join him in the Oval Office later today as Musk departs D.C. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
The White House says the work of DOGE will continue. It was created by executive order and it's set to expire in July of 2026.
On social media, Trump accused China today of violating a deal with the U.S. to mutually roll back tariffs and trade restrictions for critical minerals. CBS's Vladimir Duthier on some new polling numbers.
New CBS News polling reveals 72% of Americans say they feel concerned about their personal finances lately, while a majority of Americans expect the U.S. economy to be slowing or in a recession.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kaif.